Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Marvin Lewis says that he is not responsible for getting the players up and ready to play. And that sounds ridiculous to me. There is a story also, according to Chris Jimenez, who's a good friend of ours. And I do want to say, like, this dude, some of the words may have been taken not out of context, but he's never said a bad word about the Rangers.
Right.
Like, this guy has been a, you know, we really liked him in the clubhouse for one, but he's never said a bad word about him. And I've tried to get him to a number of times. But he was with the Twins last year, and he said the Rangers had a lot of rules, their clubhouse. And he said the Kangaroo clubhouse fines for not being early enough for daily team stretch on the field, wearing footwear with shoelaces on road trips, and wearing anything on the road that failed to meet Adrian Beltre's exacting standards would be put in the Kangaroo court. Now, there's, you know, they had a conversation. Him and Yu Darvish had some talks. He thinks that Thad Levine is going to be a good thing for possibly getting Yu Darvish because of their relationship that they have. And that's kind of one of the things he was like, I don't think that, you know, he's going to go back to the Rangers. I think we have a good shot to get him. Here's why. And, you know, some of the stuff that's going on in the clubhouse. Now, we've heard, Kevin, about some of the things that go on in that clubhouse.
Sure.
But we've also heard that, you know, from Frank, that's every clubhouse. That's, you know, that's hockey clubhouse or, you know, locker rooms across the country. Football locker rooms across the country. If something happens that everybody gets made fun of, oh, yeah, you're going to pay a fine. Profar, when he was in the World Baseball Classic and ran off first base and got thrown out. Remember that?
I do.
And everybody was like, oh, yeah, that'll go to Kangaroo Court. I mean, it's just one of those known things. So
we saw him try to pull Joey Gallo's pants down.
Yeah, that was
weird.
Was that maybe the payoff? Was he had to go attempt that in order to pay off what he'd done?
I can see that.
Because he might get punched. But, you know, this the Yu Darvish thing, it's a pretty interesting look. I think it speaks volumes. If there was another quote that said, you know, I think Jimenez said they sat down at Thanksgiving and talked at length about the coaching, the players, and the front office about the Minnesota Twins.
Sure.
And that says a lot about what Yu Darvish's interests are to me, and maybe even comparing, because he knows, Jimenez knows, the two clubs and the two clubhouses and how they may differ. So I think that's something that you could really look at and maybe read into, but I do wonder what is it exactly if Bannister's sitting there and Beltre's doing this and it's making people, you know, I don't know if Yu Darvish is soft, but if it's making people uncomfortable, should Bannister step in and stop it? Does he need to, or does Bannister say, you know what, this is your clubhouse, you guys patrol each other, I manage the club.
All right, so 877-881-1053, what we're asking, what are the coach, manager, depending on the sport, what are their primary responsibilities? Because we asked the question about Bannister in that instance. Is he responsible for clubhouse culture? And then you get to Marvin Lewis, like you alluded to. This quote perplexes me, and this is after they got smashed by the Bears. Quote, these guys have a lot to play for, and it's not my responsibility to get them, as I said, to turn it up. It's not. So, like, you would think that was one of the primary responsibilities of your coach, to make sure that his team is, like, motivated and ready to go. So is that the primary responsibility? Is it managing the people? Is it managing the clubhouse to make sure it's harmonious and happy and nice and blah, blah, blah? Like, what is, or is it just coach the damn game and don't worry about the rest of the outside stuff? What is the primary focus?
I actually believe it is to get the players up and ready to go. You go through all week to get them prepared
to do
this game. But then once the game happens, to make sure that their level is ready to go and up to where they need to be at in order to perform well. We're also quoting Marvin Lewis, who I don't know, understand in my mind how this guy still has a job.
After this Sunday, it has to be the end. Like, it just, if it's
you
not,
think?
I don't know.
You think? I don't know. I still say he's got naked pictures of somebody.
Now, you guys know I was a big fan of Bill Parcells' style because it made sense to me. Like, there were a lot of things that made sense about what he would say. And maybe it was very old school, but he did say that he didn't think it was his job before a game to go give some pep talk. Like, he was like, they know how big the game is. I don't need to go in there and change that for them. I don't need to go in there and add any pressure or take any pressure off of them. Because you go in there and let them have their own sense of what pressure they need to put on it, then you're it's going to be a better thing for you. If you go in there and you say something, then it can take the pressure off, and they're not going to perform as well as they should. So it's not my job to go in there and give them a pep talk before a game. Now, the part of the preparation to get them ready, I think you do that all week. I think that's part of it. Every week, you have to do those things to get them ready. Jason Garrett's approach is, if I'm just consistent every single day, wear the same thing, clap the same way, do all these things, then no game's bigger, no game's smaller than what it should be, and I don't have to do that. But from what we hear, Jason Garrett does give some pretty rousing speeches. Do they always work? Man, I don't know. It appears as though no. Maybe sometimes, dude. There may be games they shouldn't have won that they've won because of his speeches. I can't think of one, but maybe. Who knows? But that was Bill Parcells' approach was, I'm not going to give a pep talk right before the game. The week practice, and some of the best coaches have said that too. Hey, all the stuff we worked on, all the stuff that we told you to think about when you're hitting, once you get to the plate, forget it and swing. Because you've practiced so many times, you've practiced that so many times, your body should be able just to do it now.
So we're getting a lot of differing opinions from the 903. Coaches and managers should do X's and O's, not motivation. If money, women, and fans don't energize you, what will? And from the 817, I guarantee you Bill Belichick isn't giving his team pump-up hype speeches before every game. All right, that part I do agree with. However, I do think there are some situations where it's probably called upon, you know? Like, if you don't think that Bill Belichick is doing any kind of hype-up speech before the Pittsburgh game this weekend, I disagree with that. And so I don't think that the coach or the manager is there to, like you guys were saying, not be the rah-rah guy all the time. However, you should have a pretty good pulse on your team. And are you telling me that Marvin Lewis, it sounds like he had no idea that his team was disinterested in playing this weekend?
That's the thing. That's the what you have to really know. Like, you have to have your finger on the pulse of your team throughout the week.
And for him to say that's not his job is stupid.
Yeah, you have to know if they need it or not. You have to know if you're walking into a game, man, do they need me to say something today? And if I say something today, in 3 weeks, am I going to have the same message and it's going to go blank? Or is this the only moment I need to say it? And in 3 weeks, whenever they need it again, I just say, remember what I said last time. Like, you really have to know the right times, because you can't, how many during a season, a baseball season, how many meetings should Bannister call that are closed door?
Like, no more than three?
Right.
Maybe two?
Right. Like, that's what we all, Washington, when he had to call a bunch of meetings that were closed door that year, we knew he was done. You know, when you have too many, you have moments, because you should be able to walk through that clubhouse and people just know what they're supposed to be doing that day. They don't need you to tell them. You don't have to go tell them. They know what their jobs are. Now, I know not all players respond that way.
Sure.
And you have, you know, huge rosters that you have to deal with. But, man, you know, Kevin, I always go back to one of the coolest championship runs I've ever seen in high school sports. And it was the Plano West baseball team.
Right.
Their coach told me and told you, I don't coach these guys. I manage a roster. They get coached by their private coaches. They have private hitting coaches, private pitching coaches. I don't coach them. I manage a roster, and they patrol themselves. They had lots of senior leaders on the team. That he said, they take care of the clubhouse. I don't have to do anything. And so whenever you have a situation like that, you really have to put a lot of trust in the guys that you have running that clubhouse. It looks like Bannister trusts Beltre a lot, right? like whenever you look and you see Beltre getting in an argument with an umpire, an argument in some other way, Bannister gives him some time. And then finally walks over there and says, okay. And they listen to each other. They seem to have a good respect for each other.
Okay, in that scenario, I get it. But let's go back to the Bengals as a scenario. Who the hell do they have? Are you telling me Andy Dalton's that guy? Pass. And this is kind of the way I feel from the 940. Yeah, okay. If perfect is your clubhouse leader. Oh, my God.
Pac-Man, Adam.
From the 940, depends on the team. It's the coach's job to run the clubhouse unless there's a player presence to take care of that. And again, I think that's one of your jobs is to determine whether it's by your own like viewpoint or by talking to other players if you have that guy. Because if you have a bunch of different guys who like, you know, if the Stars were just firing off all of these different people who they said were the clubhouse leader, well, then guess what? You have no clubhouse leader. Like, I doubt this is the case, but if somebody said, oh, it's Kari, another person said, oh, it's Bishop, another person said it's Sagan, another person said it's Ben, like, then you got nobody. What I'm willing to bet is they all fall in line pretty much and say Ben is the guy. And in that instance, then you can defer to him. But, I mean, we're lucky in that, you know, the Mavs have got it with Dirk. The Rangers have got it with Beltre. The Stars have got it with Ben. With the Cowboys, is it Dak? Is it? But either way.
At the moment, it has to be.
Okay.
Well, remember when it was T.O.?
Sure.
And that's how it was when T.O. was with the Eagles, too. His personality was magnetic. And people in the locker room loved him. But he could divide a locker room just like that. You got to be sure
exactly
you have the right guy.
And that's why if you're Garrett, then in this instance, you have to determine, like, are they drawn to the cult of personality or are they drawn to this person actually being a leader? Because if you don't think they are, then you need to step in and be that leader. And I bet a lot of teams suffer from that because a lot of teams probably don't have that one guy that everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's him.
You need the excitable guy, the guy that's ready to get everybody organized and not be the coach. And when I talk about the coach needs to have his finger on the pulse of what his team is and what they need, well, it could be they don't need the pep, rah-rah talk. I'm not talking about that as that's the coach's job. Everyone has to do that. But like for Belichick, he runs his locker room with fear. You can tell. It's like,
sure.
Oh, you don't want to be here? Oh, I can find a place for you.
I better work so hard. I better work harder than everybody.
I mean, we're like this show and this station is a great example of this. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. Let's just say I said this a long time ago. Is we have meetings from time to time, and Corey knows that the meeting points I'm interested in are the statistical and factual data from the meeting. But then it never fails. Somebody decides to stand up, and they're going to give their pep speech, and I'm out. Like, at that point, I tune out because I am motivated myself, and I do not need someone else to motivate me. But I guarantee you there were people in that room that were like, all right, let's go. And it's the same logic for a football team. There are probably some people who hear that rah-rah speech, and they're like, yeah, yeah, I got it.
You know what our meetings need more of?
Booze.
Puppets.
What?
They're usually early in the morning. I can't start
like
that.
Sock puppets? Or?
Yeah, yeah, sock puppets or just, you know, regular
dude,
puppets.
I don't know why you looked at me, Corey. I'm not going to lie. If we had a meeting and all of a sudden Spittle broke out a puppet and started talking, that would gain my attention.
How?
What do you mean, how?
How would it not?
How have you ever been in a situation in your life where you weren't expecting a puppet and then a puppet appeared and that person didn't have all of your attention? The answer, never. Because I guarantee you, every time in your life, if a puppet appears and you weren't prepared for it, you're paying attention. You might think that person is mentally unbalanced, but they've got your attention for the start.
Hey guys, time to talk about the budget.
Yeah. It's like,
no, man,
yeah.
Let's talk about this budget.
Are you
puppet?
Telling me if a guy popped up and said, hi, I'm Randy the ratings puppet, you wouldn't be like, all right, let's hear what he's got to say?
I don't
of
know.
Of course you would.
I don't know what my, I think I would be scared at first, because why is a puppet talking? And does that person, I think, here's what I think happens. Because you ever do that trick where you maybe your brother or cousin and you're like, hey, look over here, whap, you know, one of those.
Okay.
That's what I think a puppet is. A puppet is a situation where they're getting ready to do this and then they're going to hit me or stab me on the other side. That's
okay,
what I'm afraid of.
But guess what? You just won the argument for us because either way, you're paying attention, it's because you're weirded out, scared, or whatever.
From the 806, I don't think Phil Jackson had to run the Bulls locker room. MJ played every game to win, and I feel he was the player motivator as well as the guy who had to argue with the refs. And the refs probably respected MJ more than they did Phil. Now, I did hear a story about the Lakers, and it was before one of their big championship games.
Somebody broke out a puppet.
Nobody broke a puppet out.
Man.
But he did tell them he wanted, and this was typical before big games, he would turn the lights off or have them all lay on the floor and close their eyes or sit in their locker, close their eyes, and for like an hour, visualize the game. And I've seen this happen before. I was covering a team and I was on the bus with them and the coach had just finished dinner and he was like, all right, guys, we're about to go up to our hotel room. We're about to go do this. I want you to take 15 minutes. And he said, we're going to sit here quietly for 15 minutes. I want you to visualize. And he gave the players thoughts and he walked them through the game of how they were going to win the game the next day. You're going to do this. This goal is going to happen at this point in the game. And he went through like 16 different scenarios and just let them think and breathe and think on it. And this is more power of the mind kind of thing. And they went into the game and they did exactly what he said. They scored like 8 minutes into the game. They scored their final goal with 2 minutes left in the game with a guy they pulled off the bench that he said they were going to pull off the bench at some point in the game to come in and do that. And it was pretty amazing to hear that and see it. And that's the way Phil Jackson, you know, the Zen master and how right. That was his style was, I'm not going to give you a pep talk. I just want you to go in with a different type of focus.
I feel like maybe we've discovered in this first segment, aside from the obvious puppet greatness,
okay,
I would like business people across the world to start instituting that immediately, why there's so much difficulty in terms of continuity with managers, because how many different ideas have gotten thrown out and debated about what the primary job of a coach and a manager is
yes.
in this segment alone?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the reasons people hate Garrett. He's not Jimmy. He's not this. He's not that. He's a different style of coach from everything else in the league right now. And when it's not winning, it's the worst.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.